Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
My wife says I talk really loud, and so just to be careful with the microphone because I'm very booming and boisterous voice, I think it's just her. Just beautiful, delicate ears. Or she has to hear me all day long. Thank you. Appreciate that. Years ago, I used to be petrified of public speaking. But the righteous are as bold as lions, and today I am righteous in Christ Jesus, and I am bold. And so today I will speak his word. So bear with me. My name is Casey Parrish. I've been going here for probably almost, it's like two-something years. My wife, my now wife, and I have been going here for quite a while now, and we absolutely love this place. I want to take a moment to tell you about myself. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah, awesome. Nice, there you go. I lived in Seattle 5 years before I moved to the Spring Creek and the Alco area. And I know you all asked me what brought you here, Casey. It was my beautiful wife, Amanda. She brought me here. So. Yes, love makes you do crazy things. So, we actually today have been married for 8 months. Happy 8 month anniversary to you, Amanda. I'm a third generation minister on a small level. My grandfather was a circuit rider in Madison, Wisconsin, and my father was a worship leader and youth pastor for many years. And now Amanda and I was also a youth pastor in Madison for a couple of years out there as well, and it is Amanda and I's privilege to be here working with the youth TCT today. We absolutely love that; it's a privilege. So, I gotta out volume the kids in the back. I see that that's why you bring it up, right? I just wanted to introduce myself. I would love to meet each and every one of you individually, and I hope I get the opportunity to, but just so that you guys know who I am, that is a little bit of my story. So it's a pleasure to be here today. The title of today's message is Who Are We? I don't have any slides. I'm a tech guy, but I'm not a tech fancy guy with all the gadgets and the gizmos like Fred here, yeah, with the PowerPoints and all that stuff. But I've got a couple videos and a demonstration, so hopefully we can get engaging enough for you guys. So the title is "Who Are We?" In the title, I want to ask you guys. I'm going to put this in the front so I can look at it. I have all my notes down. You'll have to bear with me. I'm going to be going through all of my notes on my paper. Okay. In the title, I want to ask two questions. Who are you? And who is Christ Community Church? So those two questions are posed in who are we, okay? So I want you guys to think about that. In your guys' seatbacks, I dispersed a bunch of 3x5 cards. Some of you have them, some not. You guys can share, or if you have a journal, use that journal. But I want you guys to write those questions down today. I want you guys to take just a little bit of notes. In the front row, sorry about that, you can maybe reach behind and see if you can grab one of those. But please feel free to use those today. I want you to write those two questions down. Who am I? Who is Christ Community Church? I want to urge you guys to ask yourself that question deep down. I want you guys don't just write it down, but to ask yourself during this process and through this week and from now on, I want you guys to ask that question. And I want, through this message and through the scriptures and God's word, I want you to find your identity and take fast to who you are. The TCT students are going to be somewhat familiar to this, so sorry about being so redundant for you guys. We just went through a book called Searching for Significance. We went through that sermon, or we went through that book, we wrapped it up just about a month ago, but this is really what the Lord has laid on my heart today. So I'm going to pray. And then just share a couple scriptures. We'll get right into the message. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to share. God, I pray today I am your mouthpiece, Lord. and you would be the one to deliver this message. Holy Spirit, you have control of this service today. I pray that this would penetrate the hearts of the people right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen. As I was sleeping last night, I kept speaking a scripture over and over again. I woke up and the first thing I did was I grabbed my phone, my Bible, and I looked it up. And I don't know why I kept speaking over and over again, and it became clear. It was Isaiah 55, which I had marked, and then I pulled my pen away when I stood up here. I don't know why I did that. But I'll find it quick. All right, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it, says the Lord. That scripture, the one that I kept hearing in my head was, oh, perfect, awesome, you guys rock. The word was my word, or the scripture that was in my head was the word, my word will be sent out and will not return void. And I think that's in a couple other versions says that. But that is what I pray for this service today. The Lord's word will go out, and I proclaim it will not return void. So I just want to speak that over the message today. So in asking who we are, let's start with the beginning, Genesis. If you guys want to open, you can go to Genesis 1:27. I have it written here, so I don't have to keep on flipping through my Bible here. I have it all written down. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God made you in his image. God created us in his image. All of mankind carries that piece of God in his image, and we can hold true to that in it. So that's one piece that I want you guys to hold on to. And Mrs. Berry and our book that we went through with the students all touched on identity in such an incredible way. Thank you for the message that you brought forth that God had for you. And I don't know why it was so prevalent to speak this, but I truly feel the Lord wants to speak this. We are going to talk heavily on identity today, which is I'm very excited about, because I feel it is truly not my word. So anyways, Genesis, in the beginning, we are created in the image of God. Okay, hold true to that. Insert Satan, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He is out there. What did he do in the beginning times? Satan deceived Adam and Eve. He was out. He was a serpent. He was able to twist and pervert and influence Adam and Eve to strip away the identity that God had given them and given them a false identity, that they could become like God, they could become better than God. In that, mankind turned their back from God. All of mankind turned their back from God. We ran from who we are in him. Okay? Satan is a master of three things: perverting, distorting, and destroying. He cannot create, he can't make anything new, but he can twist and pervert what is already. One of Satan's most effective tactics is to steal our identity. In that, in perverting, in distorting, is to steal our identity. Has anyone ever been the culprit of identity theft before? Anyone? Okay. It happens. It is very true. So in Seattle, I own a cell phone repair shop out there. We deal with a ton of software-level hacking, identity theft, people's information being taken, and they come to see, what can I do about this? It happens quite often, and how does that make you feel? Anyone want to share?
Violated.
It makes you feel a little different, a little awkward, okay? It's a real thing. It makes you feel not in control, a little bit scared, okay? So the Federal Trade Commission has recommended steps to take for you if you've ever experienced or gone through identity theft. So I wanted to share with us some of you, I want to share some of those with you today so we can go over some of those. It's actually it's cool how it'll wrap around here. So the first step that they say is to detect the affected accounts. If you, which no duh, hello, if you've detected it or if you have seen you have identity theft, you've already completed step one. Detect your affected accounts. You want to go through thoroughly. Did they get my bank account? Did they get my social security card? Did they, what have they been? Have they been able to create other accounts on top of that? Pose who I am, blah, blah, blah. Detect the affected accounts. The next step is to alert anyone to help minimize the damage. The police, your banks, your credit cards, the accounts that were affected. You want to notify those accounts. Close compromised accounts. And this is the next step. And then the last step is take back control to recreate everything affected. Okay? These are the steps that it gives you. They're very basic and straightforward, but if you go and you contact the Federal Trade Commission, these are the steps they have for you. They're actually quite profound. If we look and take those same steps with the principle that Satan is out to try and steal and take our identity, these steps prove themselves to be very valuable. One, identify in your life the lies of the enemy you have believed. Seek out the truths in Scripture. Okay, that's step one. That's identify the, what is taking place. Number two, alert those who can help you. Pray. Call out to God. Confess that you have allowed yourself to look elsewhere for validation, security, and who you are without him. Confess. Look to see who can help you, okay? Number three, close the accounts in your life that feed those lies, okay? You need to shut that down and you need to close that. If something has come in your life, Satan has pried his way in, Satan has planted a tiny seed in your guys' head. I'm not beautiful. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not loved. I'm not accepted. I can no longer be seen righteous in the eyes of God because of what I've done, what I've thought, blah, blah, blah. Satan plants these and he lets them go, and we as humans run with those lies. We have the ability to shut those down, and with the power of God, we can shut those down. So that, we need to close those accounts in your life. Stop listening to those who put you down. Stop listening to the music that feeds the darkness. Stop hanging out with those friends who bring up gossip and talk trash. Stop hanging out with buddies who slam people. You need to exclude things from like that in your life so that you can focus on life. You can focus on what brings and gives you life, hope for future. Okay? The last steps, take back control, okay? On top of closing those accounts, you don't just leave it, okay? You take back control. Allow the Holy Spirit to recreate everything affected. Apply the truths, the truth of God over your life. The scripture is filled with beautiful, beautiful truth, and we'll touch on a lot of that today. It is filled with that, what you can apply over your life to truly get the identity that God has for you. So those steps that I gave you were the Federal Trade Commission, but we can apply those in our lives in a very basic sense. The enemy is out there to steal our true identity. As individuals, who am I? Who truly am I? I'm Casey. What do I do? How do I think? How do I feel? How do I act? This is all makeup that God created within me, my characteristic, my temperament. How I see myself, Satan, insert Satan, he comes in and he tries to pervert, he tries to twist, and he tries to take the rug out from underneath you, but very slowly, until you're on your butt, and you're like, I don't even know what happened, my world fell apart, I don't know what's going on. We need to hold true and hold fast to the promises that God has in the scripture. The world and others often try to get you to be someone that you're not supposed to be. This not only applies to young students in development, figuring out who they are, but this also applies to us adults that experience things every single day. We feel we have security in who we are as a grown-up and as an adult or in our older ages. I know who I am. I know my routines. I know what I have going in my life. But sometimes we fall into these autopilots or these daily routines or these false identities, really, that get developed for us around us by people who can influence us, whether it be the media or the news or friends or your parents or how you were raised. You can strip away those lies that have been seeded or planted in your life, okay? And the world often tries to tell you who you are and what you should do or where you should go with your life, or what kind of career you should take or are taking, or whether you should still be married to this person and go this way, what's hot or not. The world is out there, and it's so perverted. The enemy really has a grasp over a lot of what influences us on the greater world, and that's what's awesome about here, is we can get the word, we can come together as Christ's community and receive the word, which is incredible. So throw off what the world has to offer and what darkness has to offer. One worldview of strength is finding oneself, self-discovery, self-empowerment, okay? This is a tactic that's used a lot for a lot of things, motivational speaking, therapy, things like that. But it's a worldview that doesn't truly help you identify who you are. We often try and find ourselves by ourselves, and that's not the way that it's supposed to be, okay? We were created to walk with God, and we were created to be seen holy and righteous and walk with him, but we've turned from that, and we are now dirty as mankind. And so what brings us back to that light? What brings us back to that image where we can walk beautifully with God? It's not by oneself. It's not, can I look in the mirror and pump myself up today to get through this day? Can I talk myself up or hang out with just enough people to like motivate me or encourage me or whatever? No, those are surface level things that will get you from day to day, but it's not who you are truly. You can't find oneself without Christ Jesus, truly. Let me find out where I'm at here. We were never supposed to be alone. That's the reality of it. And when we separated ourselves, we do walk alone, except for when we come back to Christ Jesus. And we're going to keep on going and cover that. Man was created to be with Christ. He came down and left his father to be with his bride, which is us. We are the bride of Christ as the church. Only in Christ will we have true unity and find ourselves. God created man, insert Satan. He stripped away what he could from our identity and who we are just enough for us to turn away and think that we can do it on our own, okay? We're going to go from there to reconciliation with God, because praise the Lord, there is a way to be restored and reconciled with God. Hallelujah. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. You guys can flip to that. I'll give you just a second to flip to that in your Bibles. I often like to pull scripture out when I speak, but I don't like to pull out little snippets. I really actually enjoy the full context of it. But when I do that, it gets very lengthy, and so I will trim it down as much as I can, but I have 7 pages of notes. My original notes were quite a bit longer, and so I trim it down to what I can to be very effective, but go to the scriptures. This is your source. I will not sugarcoat or pull out 2 words and prove a point with it. The scripture is very clear, and so I will speak as much as I need to get the point through, and it might be a little lengthy, so bear with me, everyone. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly viewpoint. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Explanation point on that. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin, Christ, for us, so in him we might become the righteousness of Christ. Reconciliation. God created us. We were made beautiful and perfect. Satan planted seeds in our mind, and we turned our backs from God, and we sinned. Christ made a way for reconciliation, that we can be made right in Christ Jesus, which is incredible. This is part of restoring our true identity, is to be reconciled with God. So we can be reconciled. Part of those steps is we can identify, and we can we can go to the right steps we needed to take. Part of it is reconciling with God. We are made new in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 states, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It's incredible how we as mankind turned our back on God, and God made a way so beautifully. He gave all for us, which is absolutely incredible. In this, it says, put on the new self, which is cool. Okay. Created as a beautiful masterpiece. It would be like Mona Lisa, beautiful masterpiece. Everyone awes over this. And somebody spits ketchup all over it. It's tarnished and tainted, right? What would it truly take to bring that back to its true and former beauty? It would take the original creator, obviously, that would know the peace, right? In this, we can be made right in Christ Jesus. So that is the promise right here for us. So this is incredible. Put on new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. All right, and then I've got some more scripture for you. 1 Peter 2, and this is a long one. This is going to be a focal point of the message here. I don't have a clock in the back. I think it's taken down from paint. I could go on all day, you guys. We're going to be here for a while, hallelujah. I might need something, though, just so I have a reference. I'm going to steal this. I was, like, looking. I'm like, everyone obviously has a clock in the back, right? But we're painting these beautiful walls. I don't know who's doing it, but it's looking absolutely beautiful. Thank you if you're here. This is looking awesome, so... cool. I know what time it is now. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. Okay? Bear with me. These are beautiful promises of God. I want you guys to ask yourself in this, who am I? All right? Who am I? "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that, the Lord is good. Now that you have tasted, the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built in a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," which is an incredible, that's a whole sermon in itself. "And a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they are destined for. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness in his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This scripture is incredible. This is a letter written to a specific people, to a church. This is to church, okay? This is to us, Christ Community Church. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. I want you guys to think about that as we go on. This scripture says so much in it, which is awesome for us to be able to focus and identify on as we think about our identity. Who am I? I want to ask you guys a couple questions, and I want you to write these ones down. I want you to write, who am I? I am chosen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, I am chosen. Who am I? I am valued. 1 Peter 2:9 also says, I am valued. It says that we are a royal priesthood. We are God's special possession, okay? Now, I've got a funny example for you. I was looking for some examples. If you look at 1 Peter 2:9, it says, I am valued. What gives us our value? Where does our value come from? What is the scale, right? Okay. First of all, the scriptures are clear. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We are God's special possession. Our value comes from our Creator and is set by our Creator, and the fact that we are our Creator's gives us such significant value. How many people know that sometimes the value of something isn't what it is, but it's who owned it? Back in 2000, Justin Timberlake visited a radio station in the USA and barely touched his French toast, which the station then auctioned off to charity, and it was bought by a 19-year-old who paid $1,225 for the two slices she wanted to freeze-dry and keep on her dresser. To me, it makes me a little sick, but where does that value come from? It doesn't come from two pieces of toast that were dipped in some eggs and thrown over a griddle and, you know, has some syrup on it. There's no value in that. I can get the $5 big slam at Denny's or whatever for some French toast. It's not in the pieces of toast. It's not in the radio station who auctioned them. It's not in what platter it was served on. It's who was the French toast for? Who touched them? Who ate them? Who ordered them? Who bought them? Okay. It was Justin Timberlake. Do I care about Justin Timberlake? No. God bless him. Funny guy. But I would never buy his pieces of French toast for $1,000. But somebody did because they valued that person that much in their own mind to pay that much freeze dry and put them on their dresser. Now, that's goofy to me, but listen. Listen to this. You are God's creation. You are chosen in value. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's special possession. Think about that for just a second. How much value is in that? That's not worth $1 million. That's not worth $1 billion. That's not even worth our national debt. Okay? You have something? It could. But I don't think it'll eat us. Good question. I like that. I love it. No. We are God's special possession. God created us. He formed us. He's the maker. I could just imagine him forming each one of us, Jeremiah says, in our mother's womb, and thinking about a clay maker spinning the clay on the wheel and just so delicately dipping their hands in the water and just forming every piece meticulously. Each one of you were made that way. We all are taller and look different and have different colored hair and different color eyes, and it's a beautiful thing. Each of our differences and our beauties are God's special design. That is, you are his possession, and he loves that. He lost you, but he goes, you know what? They're so valuable. I will give everything for them. I will give myself, my son, for them. Think about that. Who am I? Ask yourself that. Write that down. I am valued. Next question. Who am I? I belong. These scriptures I won't read, but write them down if you would like to read them. 1 John 4:4. I belong. 1 Peter 2:9, we keep going back to that one. That one says very clearly within that you belong. That's something that you can hold true to. Who am I? This isn't the identity that you walk around and show when somebody calls your name, but this is the identity that you have to hold true inside of you. I am Casey. I don't go around and say, I'm Casey, I belong, I'm chosen, I'm valuable. I can say that, but I have to know that inside of me to know my true identity. Who am I? I am God's temple, which is another beautiful, beautiful thing. There's scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16 states, we are God's temple. There's so much within that. There's a whole nother sermon within that as well, that we are God's holy temple. So much can be done with that in mind, knowing that God, the Holy Spirit, resides within us. I'll touch into it just a little bit. Years ago, there was the temple. It was the place that the Holy of Holies resided in. We separated ourselves from that. We were tarnished. God cleansed us, and now the Holy Spirit can come and reside back in within us. We are that holy temple. Know that, which is it's an empowering thing to know what we have within that. So thank you, God, for that. so many more things. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We are set apart. We are his workmanship. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are blessed. And I could go on forever because the scriptures are filled with promises of who you are. Who am I? Think about that. And I'm going to ask that question. You're going to be asked the same question so many times. I felt bad. I told Amanda today. I'm going to ask this question a lot during service today. And you're just going to have to hear it. Who am I? Think about it. I want you to know. I want you to leave today. And if you know who you are and you rest in that and you rock that out daily, just keep on asking yourself that. Who am I? Move forward with zeal, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus because of the promises that he has for us. We can know that and move forward, which is incredible. All right. It is in Jesus we find and secure our identity. We were once fallen. We are now to be seen clothed in white. We can enter the throne room of heaven and worship our Lord once again. So I ask you, who are you? You can hardly answer that in two words. This book, the Bible, is filled with many proclamations of who you are in Christ and in his word, you will find your identity, your strength, your meaning, your belonging, your worth, and your acceptance. Take a moment and reflect on that. I'm going to give you guys just a sec. I truly want you to ask yourself, who am I? I want you to write that down. And then go ahead and prepare for the video. All right, church. So I'm going to wrap up this question. Who am I? Okay. I want you to give yourself identity. Allow God's identity to be shown through you, okay? Ask yourself and write it down and reflect on that from this point on in your life to know who you are in Christ Jesus with what he has declared. Whether it's French toast or not, that's up to you. Okay, go ahead and share this video.
Introduce you to yourself. You are alone, a solitary figure, connected joint and bone to no one but yourself. And this is the life you chose. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are cut off, separated. You ran into your isolation, and now there is no way back into the family from which you came. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are stained. You have sealed your isolated separation with guilt. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are under the shroud of slavery. In trying to own yourself, you became owned. Your master is your sin. You serve nothing but your own isolation and separation. This is your identity. This is who you are. But let me introduce you to who he is. He is God's special possession. There is no shroud of darkness on him, yet he fell under the dark veil of death so that God might specially possess us. Let me introduce you to who he is. He is the holy nation. He is perfect and the fullness of God's kingdom. Yet he left his kingdom of purity to take on our impurity. He tarnished his holiness by becoming sin for us. Let me introduce you to who he is. He is the royal priesthood. There was no distance between himself and God, yet the royal one was struck for our separation. He took the blow for our absence. Let me introduce you to who he is. He is the chosen one. Before the foundations of the earth, he chose to stand alone to bring us to God. That is who he is. That is the identity of Jesus. But there is even more. So let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now the chosen people. No longer alone, you have been brought into a full and eternal family with God Himself as your Father and the Prince of Peace as your brother. Let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now the royal priesthood. You are the sons and daughters of the King who stand as a beacon of light to a separated world that there is hope and there is access to the Father. Let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now the holy nation. You have been sprinkled with the blood of God's perfect Son, so that now all his goodness, all his righteousness, all his perfection is credited to you. Let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now God's special possession. You have been sealed for salvation. You have been protected with perseverance. He who bought you with his blood will never let you fall away, for he loves you and he owns you. This is who you were. This is who he is. This is who you are now. This is your identity.
Amen. It is incredible to hear how bleak that story started. It's when I first was listening, I'm like, I don't know if I want to share this. You're tainted, covered by a shroud of your own guilt. This is a reality for people. This is a reality sometimes for us if we don't hold fast to that identity that he has for us. And it's incredible. First Peter states, and he says all these things written out. The incredible thing is that they're describing God, the royal priesthood, the chosen one. It's describing Jesus Christ. It's the royal priesthood. It's the chosen one, right? We are adopted into that family. We are co-heirs with Christ, adopted with this same identity, and God opened that up for us, which is incredible. That shroud of darkness and guilt can be taken off. Your true identity can be shown, exposed, and presented to the world as the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have that ability to go and do that. So, as we transition from who am I, know that we were broken. It started off as a beautiful paradise that became a gloom, wretched world where we were separated from God and darkness came in. And Jesus Christ came in and totally changed that and restored our true identity. Know your identity in Christ Jesus, who you are, okay? So we're going to transition from that. Now let me ask you, who is Christ Community Church? I didn't say what is Christ Community Church. I said who is Christ Community Church. I want you guys to think about that. Write that down, and we're going to go over that now. So it's a two-part message of identity, all right? Is the church a building? Is it a gathering? Is it worship? Is it music? What do you see church as? Let's just go straight to the scripture. That will bring some clarity if anyone has any questions on what church is. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. I'll wait now since I don't know if everybody has a Bible, but I'll wait for it to come up on the screen here. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. You guys are stellar. Awesome. And God placed in all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who filled everything in every way. So this scripture is very clear. The church is his body. He is the head. He is the cornerstone. He is the head. Okay. And what is the body? What is the body? We ask the church. What is the church? We're going to get to that. Again, he states in Ephesians 5:23, he is the head of the church. We are the body. And it says, again, for the husband is the head of the house, or the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. The scripture goes on and on and on and declares, you are the church. It is not this building. God isn't the head of these four walls or these pillars or these lights or these fans or anything. He's not the head of that. He is the head of this body, this group of people, these believers in him. He is the head, and we are the church individually. I, Casey, am the church of Christ Community Church. Stephanie is the church of Christ Community Church. Alex is the church of Christ Community Church. We shall identify Christ Community Church as ourselves, as one body with Christ as the head. Okay. We gather, we play music, we worship, we have community group, we serve each other, we love each other, not in the church, but as the church. Remember that. Okay? And I have a joke for you guys. Wrong, it's the church. There's a building, here's a pointy thing, and here's the church. Know that, all right? My wife looked at me and she's like, okay. I have to run everything past her, right? Hey, I thought of this, check it out. Okay. all right, we're going to go back to some scripture here. What? That one was not approved, but I know, right? Hey, quiet in the second row. How much time do I have? Okay, cool. We're getting there. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 31. Bear with me. Just as a body, though, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Could you imagine like a bunch of arms? Awkward. How would you eat? Okay. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body, which is an incredible thing to think about. If the foot is like, I'm not going to be, let's see here. Oh, I just missed it. Thank you. Okay, so the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. The best part is the second part here. It would not for that reason for stop being a part of the body. If somebody decides, hey, I'm an ear and I'm gonna go do my own thing, it doesn't just, if my ear decides, honestly, if it decides not to hear anymore, it's still part of my body, okay? Unless I decide to take it off, which would be weird, okay? But it's still there. If my nose stops smelling, you still have to look at it every time you see me because it's a part of my body, even if it stops smelling. Do you guys get that? Which is the best part about this. All right. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in his body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body, which is incredible. Thank you, God, for being the head of our body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the part that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the part that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has to put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked in it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its part should have equal concern for each other. But one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophet, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of the healing, and helping of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. All are apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Listen, this is an incredible thing to think about. We are a part of the body of Christ, and we, asking that question, who is Christ Community Church? Think about your identity and who you are and your body, your part in Christ Community Church. Who is Christ Community Church? We are Christ Community Church. We are the body. Long story, I broke my pinky. I actually broke the side of my foot one time. I fell in a hole playing capture the flag with my little nieces and nephew, twisted my ankle, I broke the side of my foot. It's very difficult to walk with a broken like pinky toe right down the side of my foot. It's very difficult to walk. It actually made my knee, I had to overcompensate, and it made my knee injured, okay? So my tiny little pinky toe made my knee hurt. What happened later? I was playing basketball with a sore knee, and I dislocated that knee. The problem grew, and it was not addressed. I went, and they took x-rays. They couldn't do anything about it, and I am a little angsty, and so I kept on walking on the foot like I wasn't supposed to and never let it heal right, and that was my problem. But because of that, I injured my knee, okay? And I could keep on going. I decided at that point I needed to take control of my life. I started physical therapy. I strengthened my knees, and now I can run and walk and do all those things, right? But my pinky toe, which is a tiny, tiny piece of my body, just the side of my foot, I broke. Okay? And that made it so I could still walk, right? But I didn't fix the issue like I needed to. And then I couldn't walk because I dislocated my knee. Okay? Some of us are pinky toes. Okay? All right? Awkward? I'm not. Okay? Some of us are pinky toes. And it feels weird being a pinky toe every once in a while. Sometimes you're just covered in a shoe. You're not seen. You're not, you know, all your duties and jobs aren't glorified among people, but God sees you and he knows the importance of that pinky toe. And because of that pinky toe, because of the pinky toes out here, we can stand properly as a church. Whether that's the pinky toe or the people that are praying in the back or in the office who are running the sound booth, who clean the place, who knows? But that pinky toe is what keeps the pillar and foundation of our body standing and makes sure our knees don't give out. Do you guys understand the importance of that tiny little job? I'm not going to call any pinky toes, but you know who you are, okay? Now, it's an incredible thing to think about that. So ask yourself once again, who is Christ Community Church? Identify that. Identify within yourself who is Christ Community Church. Seth, I'm going to call upon you. I asked Seth if he would help me with a demonstration today. What's that? He's not the pinky toe. That is absolutely true. He is, right now, he's a strong bicep and shoulders that I need. I'm actually going to give him a sharp saw. This is a sawzall. I need Seth to be my hands today. All right, I'm going to clear that. I'm going to make a mess, and I'll clean it up. I promise. I'm going to get ready for this.
Did you know this was right? Did Jesus say no? Okay.
This is the global body of Christ. This is God's church spanning all of his creation, all over the globe. Okay? Now, Seth, if you could, can I have a pen? Oh, perfect. Sorry. Oh.
Did you do that?
He's obviously not a pinky toe. Look at this. Look at this. All right. That's okay. That's perfect. That's totally fine. This is a complete church. This is something I made in my garage in about an hour, made out of cedar wood. But envisioned with me for a second. This is the body of Christ that spans across the globe. It is strong. It can withstand heavy blows. It can withstand heavy conditions, circumstances. God's church is whole. I can put weight on it. Okay, I made it. I know what weight it's rated for. Seth, if you could cut that chunk out. I don't know how this is going to be, but we're going to give it a shot. You're good, bud. Sometimes the church has to go upside down a little bit. Mission trips. Good. Perfect. This is Christ Community Church. Okay? We are a part of the global body of Christ that spans across this whole globe. And we are a beautiful church, a part of a beautiful church. Okay? I'm going to pull my notes back up here. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate that. You can take a seat. You're good. It might be a while. I mean, they said take your time. So. As you can see, Christ Community Church is a small part of the body of Christ. It's a small little chunk of the body. You might not have cut this deep enough. I don't know if I'm heady enough.
We got
yeah. No, I got this. The church will take blows over all of its existence. Will take blows. It will take oppression. It will take slander. It will take anything you can think of that you've seen in the media over years and years. The church will take hits, okay? And when it take hits, the church can break if we are not a full 100 piece. I stood on that. I could have kicked it. I didn't. It was a little thick, so I kicked it just to be dramatic. We are a part of the global body of Christ. Listen, the Holy Spirit resides within us. We are his holy temple. The Holy Spirit resides within the global body of Christ. Now, this church, as you can see, needs some help. One of the pillars was taken out completely, but it wasn't because the pillar was removed. It was because a tiny little piece was removed from that. And so I want to show you how important and valuable Christ Community Church is within the church. This is God's home, and he resides here. He resides in our heart. The Holy Spirit's global church, like this building, is more like a resort for him to be and function in and to heal and to show his glory and majesty in. This piece missing from the church reduces the strength of the support of the global body of Christ. Now, will God still get his message across to the people? Will his church continually press forward? Are we hindering the God of all creations when we remove ourselves or don't know our identity as a church? No, because God is so much more majestic, so much more powerful and amazing than that. But how much more effective when Christ Community Church knows their importance, how strong they are, a part of the body of Christ, making up this incredible, incredible body led by Jesus Christ, in that knowing our identity as we operate in our daily tasks, as we play the music, as we gather together, as we have TCT Serving Sunday, as we go out and go love, who are we and how do we impact the global body of Christ and Christ's whole body. So that was just an example or demonstration. I don't know, it just came to me, and I want you guys to know the importance of this tiny little piece here. This is Christ Community Church. And it is, it's not the most important piece, right? There's no more important piece. It's a piece that makes up the church that because it was taken out, I was able to easily stomp right through that pillar that was holding that church up. This is very important. Know that. All right. A quote. Does anyone know who Blaise Pascal is? Yes, he is an incredible mathematician. He's from the 1600s. Yeah. What's that? Was. Yes. No, he identifies within that era of time. Yes. He stated, "Not only do we know God by Jesus Christ alone, but we know ourselves only by Jesus Christ. We know life and death only through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ, we do not know what is our life, nor our death, nor God, nor ourselves. Thus, without Scripture, which has Jesus Christ alone for its object, we know nothing and see only darkness and confusion in the nature of God and in our own nature." That's a quote from Blaise Pascal. He was, a scientist and a mathematician? He was very much in the world, but he knew what held the world together, which is incredible. Only in Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, we operate in darkness. We operate in aloneness, trying to find out who we are or who our identity is. Without Christ as the center of this church, we operate blindly. Christ being the center of this church, being the head of this church. What do you look at when you look in the mirror? You don't look at your shoulders to make sure your shoulders look good for the day. You look at your face, your head. Does your hair look good? Does your beard look good? I ask myself that often. I look at my face, my head, because that's what I present to the world. We as body of Christ, what do we present? When we take our church and we look in the mirror, what shows? What do we present? Bring this back up here. One more thing. So think about that. Christ Community Church, look in the mirror. Let's put our head on straight, focused. Know the Lord. Know Christ Jesus, your identity in Christ Jesus, as an individual and as Christ Community Church. I would urge you. So take a moment to reflect. Think about that. On that question, who is Christ Community Church? I want you to put some answers down. Who are we? We are Go Love. We are incredible things. Think about that. Write that down. In conclusion, I want to encourage you to spend some time this week discovering, if you haven't felt like anything's popped right now, or maybe you are secure in your identity, reflect on that. If you are secure in it, enforce that, put Christ behind that as you go on in this week. If you don't know your identity, reflect on that. Find your true identity. You can reach out to any of us here, me, if you'd like to. There are so many scriptures that will declare your identity, your strength, your beauty, your value in Christ Jesus on this earth. It's not just some fantasy value out there. It's your value as you go to the mines, to the stores to work, your jobs, to the ranch, you name it. That's your identity that you function in your daily tasks as you operate, that you show the world. Know that identity. So I want you to reflect on that. Stomp out the lies of the enemy because they will come. I've shared this with the youth before. I was homeschooled my whole life. I never went to college. I now have 3 businesses. I never thought I could and would do that with the education that I thought was inadequate because I was taught at home. So I lied to myself and I said I wasn't smart enough all the time. I'm not smart enough. I can't compete on the caliber that people compete in the big business world, right? I learned that was a lie because I don't get my value from this big business world. I get my value from God, and he sends me out, and I go, and I do it. And that's what has given me any success that I've ever acquired in my life has been because I knew and rested in my identity in Christ Jesus, not because of anything that I've ever done outside of that on my own. I've read books, I've done my things, but you know what got me past my mental block to read those books and to do those things? Was the truth that God had for me, stomping out the lies of the enemy. So, stomp out the lies of the enemy. The lies are deep. They're heavy. The lies are you are unworthy. You are unloved. You amount to nothing. You can't be forgiven for that. You don't belong. You will only be known for your past, and so on. These are hard lies to face, but God's promises will pierce through the dark veil. Remember that. They will always break through those lies. Now as the body of Christ, function in your true identity. I would encourage and implore you to do that. Give me a sec, actually. I'm going to call the worship team up in a little bit. We're going to take a few minutes here, and I have one more thing that we're going to do for us today. Rest in his peace, which is higher than our understanding. Hold fast to his true identity. Christ Community Church, God loves us. He has chosen us. He favors us. He gave all for us. As Christ Community Church, let us live in that identity. Okay? Rock on with that. Now, the last thing I want to do before we bring up the worship team is I want to do something I used to do years ago when I was an intern director for a missions program in Madison, Wisconsin. And when we would go out on three-week-long missions trips, we used to, as a team, as interns, used to do this thing called Words of Life. We would put somebody in the middle, and we would encourage them, uplift them, speak only life over that person. And we'd go around the whole room, and sometimes it took a couple hours because we'd have 18 kids. And sometimes tears started flowing. Sometimes we had breakthrough, and we got over those things, and it was an incredible thing. And so today, I want to do Words with Life, or Words of Life, with Christ Community Church. This is Christ Community Church. I'm putting it in the middle of the circle, and I want to open it up for just a few minutes here and give Christ Community Church the opportunity to speak life into itself. And I will start with that. I make sure I didn't forget anything first. Okay. Christ Community Church means a lot to me. My wife and I, when we were dating and engaged, we came here with her incredible children. And we wanted somewhere for them to be able to belong and get encouraged and uplifted. And TCT was that beautiful thing that we saw. I'm gonna get emotional. I am emotional, so that's something that will come to pass or come to light here. So we appreciate that within Christ Community Church. I grew up within a youth group, and it was a place I found my best friends. I was encouraged. I had godly men that showed me the way to behave, respond, to act, to find scripture, and so I want to see that for my children, and for Amanda's children. And so Christ Community Church was that. And so we appreciate that greatly. So that means a lot to me. So if anyone else would like to share, I want to open it up. You can stand up and shout, or you can come up here. But I want to give some time for people to speak life into Christ Community Church. Okay? Who would be bold enough to start? No, Mike.
No, I think you'll be able to. Christ Community Church, you're salt and light in this community.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Christ Community Church, you're a safe place to be who you are, not what the world, the past, your parents, or anybody else said, but who Jesus Christ says. As my husband says, one of the greatest compliments was my wife is comfortable in her own skin. And I'd like to just declare that over Christ Community, that you will be comfortable in the skin that God gave you.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Christ Community is not a museum for saints, but it's a hospital for the sick.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Christ Community is for the community as evidenced in their mission and go lovely and how they help.
Yep. Beautiful.
Christ Community is love and kindness. We came here, we didn't really know anybody, but there's an atmosphere here. Well, people were saying hi and stuff, just it was just totally different than that love we just fill out.
Amen. It's the love of Christ going out. Amen. Amen. This is awesome, Clifford.
Christ Community is light in the darkness.
Yep. Absolutely.
Christ Community is a place where we can challenge ourselves.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's family.
It is family, absolutely. Miss Berry? Amen. Amen. Proclamation to our true identity. Amen. Anyone else? I won't cut it short because this is church.
Christ Community is a place where Jesus is exalted and not man's
doctrine. Amen. Absolutely. It is about the Word of God. And it will always be about the Word of God. God has a hand in that. And He will see that come to pass. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. I love it. It's beautiful. If you want to share and you're not bold enough, do it. But I'm going to, is anyone else? Because I love it. It's incredible to see that. It is beautiful. And the Lord, as the head sees this and sees his body together, the ligaments tight and bound together, the joints and the skin, the blood flowing through it, and he sees a complete body, and he loves it. That's right. I'm the pinky toe. I'll take it. I'll take that duty, guys, okay? I'll take the pinky toe. That's right. I'm God's French toast. Absolutely. You can, absolutely, which is incredible. He is the one that brings me peace to be able to even speak. And the stronger I feel his presence, the more I can speak clearly. And I can feel that here big time today. And I know when we gather together, he is in our midst. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Christ Community is a place where Holy Spirit is welcome.
It is. Absolutely. It's his house. It's the Holy Spirit's house to reside in us, in Christ Community Church here. This is where he can breathe. If we carry the Holy Spirit through us all weekend when we get to church, like I said, it's like a resort. It's like he can open up and dance among us. He is here, and it's beautiful. That is the global body of Christ. And we take him, and we go. Anyone else? I won't cut it off, so we good? Everyone out? I think Christ Community Church is absolutely beautiful to my wife and I, and we cherish it very much. We absolutely love seeing that. And like I shared about the TCT, we value that so greatly, to know that we have a strong foundation we can see our children flourish in, and we love that. And so that, again, is something that's beautiful about this place. So cool. All right, worship team, you guys can come on up.